We are talking at church last month and this month about the spiritual issue of identity. Identity is one of the three primary issues of spirituality, the other two being purpose and meaning. I reflect on the three spiritual issues, identity, purpose, and meaning, by asking three spiritual questions. Who am I? What should I do? And why does it matter? Framed as those three questions, the three spiritual issues are relevant to everyone because we all ask those questions, whether you are religious or not, whether you're a churchgoer or not, whether you're a theist or an atheist, whether you think of yourself as spiritual or not. We all ask the question, who am I? That's a spiritual question. Who am I really? What is the essential part of who I am that's different, perhaps, from the person that was formed by my genes or by my parents or by the cultural forces of the place and time that I grew up in? Or perhaps you might concede that there is no essential you apart from the person you were fated to be by nature and nurture. But we all ask, we all wonder about that. And we ask, what should I do? What should I do for a career? Where should I live? What's the right thing to do when facing some moral challenge? Who should I choose for a life partner? Should I have children? What should I do? And then, why does it matter? The spiritual question of meaning. On a tiny speck of a planet floating in vast space, with billions of years of history behind us, and a cosmic future that ends in cold and empty darkness, how do I reassure myself that my life has significance? Now, whether you answer those three questions within a naturalistic framework, or if you answer them in reference to some mystical or supernatural framework, all of us ask those three questions because they are a natural part of our human experience. Who am I? What should I do? And why does it matter? Identity, purpose, and meaning. So we're looking at identity this month and also last month because identity is a fundamental work of the spiritual task. And we're also looking at the issue of identity because identity is one of the five developmental tasks that the Unitarian Universalist Association asks congregations to work on during an interim period as a congregation searches for a new settled minister, which this congregation is undertaking now. The issue of identity is important for a congregation as you consider calling your next settled minister because, obviously, you need to know who you are in order to know what sort of minister would best serve you. And a minister who might consider applying for this pulpit also needs to know who you are in order to discern whether their particular personality, skills, and interests might be a good fit for you. So who are you? What is unique about this congregation? What do you care about? What are your personality quirks and your weirdnesses? What are you strong at? What are you hesitant about? Where do you need a minister to help you grow? And where do you feel confident that you can take good care of yourself? What are the ministry qualities that are must-haves for this congregation? And what are the deal breakers where a ministry match would just never work here? So last month, we spent the month looking at the personal, individual dimensions of the identity question, who am I? And this month, I want to start looking at the corporate dimension of the identity question, who are we? Now, 2 weeks ago, you may remember, I presented an outline of the components of a complete faith, arranged into a sequence that I call the faith line. Those three elements are beliefs, values, and actions. Beliefs, the way I'm defining it, is everything that we think about the world around us and ourselves in it. Your beliefs are your worldview, what you see when you look out at the world and all the stuff in it. It's your description of reality. Values are the guiding principles that we hold to be important. Principles like equality or justice or liberty or compassion, a long list. And then actions are what you do with your faith, your behavior, and the choices that you make. So faith is beliefs plus values plus actions, sequenced in that order. What you believe about the world informs what you hold to be important, and then what you value guides the actions that you take. And then furthermore, our actions create our experiences in the world, and our experiences then inform our beliefs. So the end of the faith line, which is experiences, loops back to the beginning of the faith line, which is also experiences leading to beliefs. So our experiences in the world define our worldview, our beliefs. Our beliefs then form our values. Our values guide our actions. Our actions create new experiences. And then those new experiences perhaps might redefine or ask us to look again at our beliefs, and so on. Now, most religions, at least in the Western culture, define their religion by what they believe. What they believe about God or Jesus or what we believe about the Bible or about life after death and so on. And in the West, our tendency is to define other religions also by what they believe, even when, as is often the case, belief isn't really the most important part of some religions. Many Eastern religions, for instance, are better characterized by a set of religious practices rather than belief statements. Practices like meditation practices or worship rituals performed at a temple or holidays that are significant or cultural things like food or practices around dress, relationships in the family. But in the West, we always want to ask, but what do you believe? Christian churches, for instance, since early in their history, created creeds, which are statements of beliefs. The creed then serves as a belief test that says you're either in or you're out, you're one of us or you're not, based on whether you can say you believe all that we say we believe in this church. Unitarian Universalism broke from that Christian tradition of defining our faith by beliefs when we decided to be a non-creedal church. So we don't have a belief statement in Unitarian Universalism, nor are we particularly defined by our religious practices, which would be our actions. We don't have a lot of prescribed rituals or holidays, for instance, of our own. Instead, our congregations are defined by our set of shared values, the second element of that faith line. We define our churches around values, not beliefs or actions. Our statement of seven principles, which are printed on the back of your order of service, by the way, is for the most part a statement of our shared values. And the reason that I think that these seven principles have become such a beloved and central and useful part of our Unitarian Universalist life over the last 30 plus years since they were written is that they give eloquent language to this essential core of how we understand who we are. So these are our values taken from these statements: the worth and dignity of every individual, justice, equity, compassion, acceptance of difference, lifelong growth and development, freedom, personal responsibility, truth, every individual a unique and essential participant in collective action, democracy, world community, peace, liberty, respect of nature. Those are the values that define us. That is our identity as Unitarian Universalists. So we believe many things. Your beliefs may neatly contradict the person of the beliefs of the person who's sitting next to you this morning, or what you hear from the pulpit from time to time. But we are united in our strong congregation because all of our various beliefs lead us to respect the same core values and then to work together to support them in our lives and in the world we share. It is those values that form our corporate identity. So this week and for the rest of this month, I want to look at a few of those values and then consider them a little more closely. And this week, in the time that we still have left, I want to start by looking at the value that's named in our fourth principle, which is a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Now, perhaps it shouldn't be too controversial for a religion to say that it values truth. Which religion doesn't value truth? And which religion doesn't imagine that it has the truth? Well, actually, Unitarian Universalism doesn't claim that we have the truth. Our fourth principle, in fact, is careful to say that our value is not the truth, but a free and responsible search for the truth. We don't say that we have the truth. We say that we're looking for it. I often describe Unitarian Universalism as a reality-based religion. Because we use the tool of science and we trust in its findings, because we strive to respond to the world the way it actually is, not what we would like it to be, or what some thousands-year-old text thought it was. But striving to be reality-based and claiming that we know what reality really is are two different things. Other religions claim that they know reality. The value that is named in our fourth principle is not having the truth, but it's searching for the truth. A few days ago, the New Yorker magazine published online an interview with Sophia Rosenfeld, who's the author of a new book called Democracy and Truth, A Short History. The interview starts by expressing the fear that many of us share that the recent assaults on truth coming from a president who lies pathologically and constantly, who assaults the free press with complaints of fake news, politicians who take positions based on what's good for the base rather than science, say around the issues of climate change or the situation at the border, and, of course, the real fake news that gets spread by social media and photoshopped photos and so on, is all undermining our ability to create a shared worldview that's based on facts, and thus undermines our ability as a country to make competent decisions through the democratic process. Sophia Rosenfeld, though, while seeing that danger, also shares a comforting thought. And here is her answer to one of the interviewer's questions. She says, "Democracy insists on the idea that truth both matters and that nobody gets to say definitively what it is. That's a tension that's built into democracy from the beginning, and it's not solvable, but is in fact intrinsic to democracy. I think both things matter. We don't want to have one definitive source of truth. Part of the reason ideas evolve and culture changes is that we're constantly debating what is an accurate rendition of reality in some form. But on the other hand, it makes for a lot of instability. That instability can be productive or unproductive at different moments and in different ways. You know, the aspiration for knowing more and getting closer to the truth is a really important one because it lets us constantly rethink what we know to be true and often decide that what we know to be true isn't." Sophia Rosenfeld is saying that truth matters, but the fact that nobody gets to say definitively what truth is not a bug, it's a feature. Who would you trust to have a definitive claim of the truth? Fox News? Franklin Graham? You? No one, right? No one has a definitive claim to the truth, and the thought that some might claim it should scare you. Truth changes. Truth evolves. Of course it does, because the world is changing and evolving. And if truth is an accurate description of reality, then truth must change and evolve along with reality. Truth must be flexible and supple. Truth must be adaptable. Truth must move. It's not truth, really, that matters. It's the search for truth. right? That doesn't mean that there is no objective truth, as postmodernism would claim. It only means that any truth is always a temporary truth. It's a process, not a fixed position. So truth can be known, but it can't be held. What is true for one moment cannot be assumed to be true in the next moment. That what you think is true and what I think are true are both contingent positions that are spiraling around this moving target, and our debate is one way of keeping up with reality as it evolves. We are constantly on a search for truth, even for those facts that are most dearly cherished. We never arrive at truth. Sophia Rosenfeld, in that same statement, admits that this constantly flowing nature of truth creates anxiety, a lot of instability, as she says. It certainly does, as we well know in this currently anxious environment in which we live. But she points out that this instability can be both productive and unproductive at different moments and in different ways. In other words, if you want the future to be different in some way than the present, then we have to welcome a certain amount of instability. A stable world isn't going to transform into a future with more justice for the oppressed, with a better healthcare system for all, with a compassionate response to asylum seekers at the border, with a rational energy policy that responds to the reality of climate change, and so on. Instability allows room to shift from what is to what might be. The instability can be unproductive too, of course, as cherished goals that we thought we achieved must continue to be defended from reactionary and destructive impulses, again, Trump. But the takeaway is that instability is inherent in democracy, and it's not solvable, and we must cherish the possibilities created by that instability even as we patch the wounds that are opened up by that instability. What's important, then, is that we don't hold fast to a rigid sense of what truth is, even when we are pretty sure that we know reality better than the next guy, because it's only in constantly debating what is an accurate rendition of reality that we move ideas and the culture forward. Our Unitarian Universalist value is not truth, but search for truth, a search that is both free in the sense that we should let diverse opinions and contrarian ideas spill out unbounded, and also responsible in the sense that our debate must be in good faith and committed to the goal of an accurate description of reality, not willful disinformation, distraction, insult, and snark. But before we get too proud of ourselves, I think this value of the search for truth rather than truth itself is also a reminder to Unitarian Universalists. It asks us to fairly and honestly examine where have our truths become rigid and doctrinaire? When have we decided that we have the truth personally or as a church or as a denomination and then given ourselves satisfied permission to stop searching or to stop listening to those views that might force us to keep searching? Where have we expressed an arrogant assurance that we know the truth, ignoring our own human limitations? Where have we decided that the debate is over? Where do we no longer feel it's necessary to include dissent, diverse opinions, or contrarian views? As John Milton said in our opening words, in a line that's also appropriate for Super Bowl Sunday, "And though all the winds of doctrine were let loose to play upon the earth, so truth be in the field, we do injuriously to misdoubt her strength." There should be no opinions formed in service to our shared values that are out of bounds in our churches. As we sang in our opening hymn, "A mind that's free to seek the truth, a mind that's free in age and youth to choose a path no threat impedes, wherever light of conscience leads. Our martyrs died so we could be a church where every mind is free." Maybe so.